First, let me begin by saying it's great to be a Detroit Lion. I believe the time is now. Not 2 years or 3 years from now, down the road somewhere, but right here, right now.
He dives in for the touchdown. Did he get it? Yes, sir, he did. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Matthew coming across.
There's one goal here, and one promise I made to Mrs. Ford is winning. If we can get one step better every day, that's putting this organization in the right direction.
Matthews got it. Gives to Abdullah right side. Got a hole. Abdullah 20. Abdullah 10. Shakes the man at the 8 and dances into the end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The Detroit Lions Podcast Post Game Show with your hosts, Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast. It's the live post game show. This is the official Detroit Lions Podcast for Reddit. I'm your dashing host, Chris, and with me is my good friend and co-host, Case. How are you doing, my man?
You know, Carson Wentz played a pretty damn good game. I think he's a pretty good player, but I have to explain why. He comes from NDSU, North Dakota State University, which is my hometown college team. And I just have to explain it. Something they say about the sheep in North Dakota is that the men are strong and the sheep are scared. And that's Carson Wentz.
He did get to do a little running around scared out there today. Not as much as I'd liked, but I was pretty happy with what we saw. Let's talk about the show. We have another co-host who's going to be joining us in a little bit here. He's our Central Michigan University intern, Brandon, the intern. Also on today's show, we're going to have a roundtable discussion about the game. We're going to have our man, Jeff Risden, the Riz, join us for a quick conversation about the game. And he might hang around and take some calls again. And we're going to open up the lines like we always do for your phone calls. And, you know, we'll hear what you guys have to say. You ready to go, Case?
Bah!
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, a couple quick announcements. First, check us out and help us out on Patreon. Special thanks to our buddy Dylan from
Guam.
That's right, out in Guam, served in the Navy. We also got James, Mike, Matt, Eric, Travis, Lucas, Joel, Bert, and of course, our very first donor, Mathis, who's joined us helping out from the very beginning. Bonus content dropping real soon here, guys. Keep your eyes open for that. If you'd like to join and help out, go to patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast or just go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and slide over to the Patreon link and click on that. Any help you can give, we appreciate it. It keeps the show going. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. That's The Detroit Lions Podcast. And on Twitter, at DET Lions Podcast. DET Lions Podcast is the best place to go to see Case.
I think I have gym shorts on. Gym shorts.
All right. Don't forget to rate us on iTunes, on Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you pick the show up. Let us know what you think. Don't forget, Jim Young just won that sweet Detroit Lions hat for his review that he gave us. It was a good one last month. Another contest coming up here shortly. But don't forget, you know, as it always is, there's plagiarism in journalism. There's fakers in podcasts. There's somebody who's just sniffing our shorts all the way around. They changed their name to be close. Don't be fooled by the imitators. They're naming their episodes just like us now. They're doing anything they can to try to be us, but they're not. All you have to do is listen. So don't be fooled. It's Detroit Lions Podcast. Give us your review and let people know what you think. Also, don't forget to leave us a voice message on Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or give us a call at the Lions line, 929-33-LIONS. It's 929-335-4667. You leave us a message, you get a chance to hear yourself on the weekly show.
This is no time for a quick release. We're going deep.
All right, let's kick this off. We're getting to the roundtable segment here. Our man, Brandon, the intern, is joining us. Brandon, how's life at Central Michigan?
Life's interesting up here, I'll tell you that right now.
You got to be feeling good after that game today.
I'd say good and bad because we almost just lost that game. So I don't want to get my hopes up and believe we can win the next one because this game was just inconsistent.
Inconsistent in the Lions. That's odd. You wouldn't figure that those things would go together, would you?
Never in my life. They're always great.
Well, it isn't exactly like they played two good halves of football. They played a good half of football and then
defense something. Showed up the last couple minutes.
Darius Slay showed up the last couple minutes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, let's get into let's get into that now. Case, why don't you go ahead and take us around, start us off in our little roundtable discussion. Give us your thoughts on the game.
Well, I mean, Darius Slay's been catching some flack for not necessarily playing at the elite level that his paycheck warrants. He pretty single-handedly won us the game by forcing a fumble and then catching an interception. I think we need to, at least lay off that for a while. Obviously he could regress, but today and not only was he great at the end of the game, but he was good throughout the whole game. They were not throwing the ball his way. Like, he shut things down. So, I mean, he might struggle under certain circumstances, but there are circumstances like this game where he creates a situation where it gives the Lions a good chance to win. And not just Slay. I mean, the whole line, the whole cornerback core played a really good game. They weren't perfect. Lawson and Diggs both, I think, had a couple of plays where they should have done better, but they were certainly not getting picked on the way they had been the week before, which, anytime you see improvement, especially early, early in the season, a lot can go wrong. A lot can go wrong in terms of, especially when you get the injuries, you've got scheme issues, you've got misunderstandings, you've got this, that, and the other thing. So to see them come into their own in this game, not to say that I'm guaranteeing that will continue, because we'll have to wait and see if that continues. But no, that was a good thing. Of course, the Lions played another game, which has been the hallmark of this season so far, where they played half a good game. They played half a good game.
I knew it. And you knew it. When they went in for halftime, you knew they were going to come out and bad things were going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
There's just no question. Oh, yeah. No question. It was easy to see. On it. So, and I just want to say that I did mention the fumble.
I was ready to.
I called it.
Yeah. I was ready for them to lose.
Yeah.
I was so ready for them to lose. Like, I wasn't even going to be upset.
No.
And to be honest, like, I'm like I'm on the fence here, because I want Jim Caldwell to lose his job. And if they win a few games here by like a point or two, this is funny too. Like, I think I predicted if they won, it would be within 3 points. And if they lost, it would be within 3 points. That's going to keep happening. That's going to keep happening, because that's the way the Lions play.
Yep. That's the team they are. All right, let's move on. Brandon, the intern, the coffee's hot today. Thank you very much. Why don't you talk a little bit about the game? Tell us what you think and what you saw.
I would say I was impressed with Matt Stafford. I mean, how can you not? I mean, he had a not so good week last week. But besides the fumble, which I don't know how he lost that ball, he did well. I mean, he didn't throw a lot of yards, but he made good passes, didn't throw into risky coverages or anything, threw for 3 touchdowns. So he definitely led the charge in that fantastic gif that I love to see with his helmet off, him taking a shot. I think he just got killed in a movie. Fantastic. Just shows how tough this guy is. And he's the leader that we needed on this team. But on the defensive side, I don't know if these players are professional, because I've never seen this many broken tackles in my life.
Oh my God.
Nobody on the defensive line, the linebacker.
God, they were unbelievable.
They were all over the place. I'm like, why can't we tackle Ryan Matthews, Darren Sproles? These are two small guys. We can't wrap them up. I understand Dorrell Green Beckham, but.
On top of that, they bounce off a guy. Like, it's not like they just miss a tackle. It's like a guy gets stopped in the backfield and has to go 2 yards back and then goes forward for 7 yards. Like,
it's the old Louis Thomas missile without the impact.
Get to him.
Or they even go for their legs. Like, okay, I understand EGB is 6'6". You don't go for his legs. You enter. What the hell am I trying to say here?
I wanted that. I wanted that drop so bad. What do you enter?
The point of attack for that type of player has to be their body. You can't attack their legs and expect to drag them down. That's a big guy. You can't expect to go low unless you're going for his knees. But they need to learn how to tackle. This is just embarrassing. If it's not drops on the offense, it's missed tackles on the defense. It's something every week that we have to constantly work on that shouldn't be an issue for this team.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that struck me at the end of the game, as you know, Darius knocked the fumble loose, and then he did the pick to seal it up for us. I was thinking to myself, you know, Slay's girl needs to go off in the fans a little more often. That seems to really put a little spark in this man's shorts. He played out of his shoes today. It was awesome to see him out there after a questionable game in Chicago, and even not Slay level play so far this season. It was good to see him become him his old self again. And another nice thing that happened related to our game, but not in our game, was the fact that the Bears lost. I mean, you can't go wrong with the Bears losing. Puts us in a decent spot, and hopefully the Giants can maul the pack tonight and make this division at least a little bit more fun as the year goes out. To your point about Caldwell, this isn't going to save Caldwell Case. Caldwell's gone. He's gone. Don't worry.
Well, I'm not arguing. I just want it to happen sooner rather than later. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. All right. We'll get more into this. We're going to move on to one of our favorite parts. Let's get Jeff Risden on the phone and hear what the Riz has to say.
Are you ready to get schooled? It's time for Risden's Wisdom with the Riz, Jeff Risden.
All right. Come on, Riz.
Hello.
Hey, Riz. How you doing, man?
Oh, there we go.
It's a win. It's a good day.
So we all called this in the last podcast. We all said they would win. We put that stake in the... I'm stunned. I expected a massive meltdown in the second half, Jeff. What happened to this team?
Well, they were on their way to it, and then they recovered. And you know, it makes a big difference when you can force turnovers, and they did that. They got two of them.
I mean, those were some of the
most... It was only the second and third turnovers they'd forced all year, by the way. Yeah.
Yes.
And I think
first forced fumble they'd had all year.
Yes.
First fumble recovery they'd had all year. And it was their first takeaway, I believe, since game two. Yep. So, yeah.
Yep.
And the timeliest I can remember over a number of seasons. We've seen turnovers before, but, I mean, these both literally won the game. I've not seen a pair of turnovers that come to this team's way in, it seems like, my lifetime.
You know, you need your playmakers to make plays in the NFL. And Darius Slay is the highest paid player that's playing on that defense right now, and he made plays. I'm so thrilled for him because he's clearly been trying hard, and he's been biting his tongue, but you can see that he's frustrated. He played very well today, even before that. And then to get that fumble, I mean, that's something that not a lot of guys do very well. You know, he attacked the football with his helmet. While that might raise some safety concerns, that's exactly how you're taught to strip the ball. And then that interception, that's a glorious piece of defensive back play right there.
Yeah, it was.
And it didn't even look like Nelson Aguilar knew that the throw was coming. But, you know, Slay, he did it perfect. He hedged it absolutely perfectly. He kept an eye on Wentz. He kept an eye on Aguilar. Kept a little bit of a hand on him, too, but that's okay. Beat him to his help, and then when the throw went up, he went and got it and played receiver. I couldn't believe that happened. That's Wentz's first career interception. So many weird things happened, but at the end of the day, the Lions played well today. And I think you have to give some credit to Jim Caldwell. As much as we've whipped on him, we all know it. They came out ready to play today. They had a plan. They were organized. They were fairly disciplined. I know they only had two penalties for, I think, 18 yards.
They went for it on fourth down twice.
Twice. And it worked both times. Even though they used Theo Riddick as a short yardage back, it took him a third effort to get it.
Which was crazy, but
you know,
it worked.
Some days you're the dog, some days you're the hydrant. Today was a good day to be,
the dog. Yeah, no, it was something. I just, for me, that first half and then start of the second half, I was just completely reliving the Colts game. It wound up being, and it wound up being something similar. Tried to give it away as best we could. Maybe not as high scoring, but came together in the end. I wish, and I wouldn't expect a convincing win against the Eagles. I would have against the Bears last week, but this team needs to, I think for itself, for their own psyche, they need to beat somebody by more than a few points in the last minute.
Yeah, but at the same time, this was a game that nobody expected them to win. And I think getting, you know, beating Jim Schwartz when they're coming off of a bye and Carson Wentz is the apple of everyone's eye and you know, getting all the love and everything. For the Lions to do what they did this week, after, especially after how god-awful they were last week, you know what? You really have to be proud of what they've done. You know, the whole one pride thing. I kind of think that's a cliche, but at the time, they really showed it today. You know, it would have been very easy for them to fold up, you know, going down the stretch after Philly came back and took the lead. But they didn't do that. They kept fighting. And, you know, Matthew Stafford, I think he only had 164 yards passing today. But he proved that it's more than stats today. He got a hard-fought win. He played very well. I thought his decision to take that sack late, that's good coaching, but that's also great awareness on his part.
Yeah.
The clock was the enemy there. I mean, there was absolutely no doubt that Matt Prater was going to make that field goal from the second that they got down inside the 20 after that beautiful throw from Stafford to Tate. I'm like, okay, we'll at least get three here. And, you know, it's so nice when they can put it all together. Now, they didn't do it for 60 minutes, obviously, but they did for enough that they were better than the Eagles today, and that's not something that we've been able to say a lot of.
No.
And it shows you why so many of us get so frustrated, because they can do things like this. Even without Ansa and you know, Ebron and Abdullah, there is still decent talent on this team. The roster is not awful. It's a little bit middle heavy, and there's some definite holes, but there is enough there to compete. And I think that's why we get so angry with Jim Caldwell and Terrell Austin in games like last week, because they didn't put them in position to compete. And this week they did, and they responded. I don't necessarily think it was a great week for Austin once again, but you know, at least they tried a few things a little bit differently. They brought some pressure. Kyle Van Noy blitzed a couple of times. You know, they switched out Nevin Lawson for Johnson Batamosi for a little while. That seemed to light a fire under Lawson, because he came back in and played pretty well down the stretch.
Yeah, and Batamosi didn't do terrible either. I mean, he looked all right out there. I saw him getting under some of the Eagles players' skin. I mean, overall, this was, you know, if we just sit back and look at this, this is a great game for the Lions. There was no expectation for a win at all. And they stayed competitive, tried to give it away for a little while, but they finished it in the end. This is a good win. In the end, it's a good win, no matter what happened historically this year or previous with team.
That's right. I'm very happy with the win. You're not going to wipe the smile off my face today.
So 2-3 right now, and heading to have the Rams come join us at home. What do you think? I mean, I certainly better than 1-4. How are we positioned against that Rams team? I feel like we're going to be able to take it to them a little bit here.
I think so. It depends on where they're at health wise. They're playing right now, so I'm not actually watching the game. But you know, the Rams, they seem to be overinflated at they're 3-1, just as the Lions were underinflated at 1-3. You know, I think they are a very tough team for teams that don't play well on the lines, and the offensive line will have to be fantastic to hold up to them. But if you can do that, if you can support Stafford and run the ball a little bit, you can pick apart the back seven there, because they do have some vulnerabilities there. And Stafford showed today, you know, he showed the wheels. He had that nice run. He had a couple of other times where he escaped pressure. He had one where his helmet got taken off too.
Yeah, that was incredible.
You know, I counted this game upcoming against the Rams as a win in the offseason, and I really don't think I'm going to change that. I expect them to beat the Rams, because the Rams do a couple of things extremely well, but if you can like weather that storm, you can beat them. And you know, the Lions should be getting healthier. It came out this week that the Ziggy Ansah is closer. He could be back. Ebron will probably be back. It doesn't seem like his injury is very serious. And Dwayne Washington could be back too. So, you know, I don't think they suffered any, you know, injuries of note today, not that I picked up on anyways. So
for the first time,
so many good things. Yeah, exactly. That's a plus too. Not adding to the injury report. I know Marvin Jones left the game for a couple of plays there, but came right back. So
got a touchdown after that. So
now we saw Lakeland Tomlinson get pulled for Graham Glasgow. I mean, is that a move that could potentially be happening next week, or was that just for a rotation to see how Glasgow could do? Because Glasgow didn't seem to do that bad to me.
I thought he did well also. And I was a little surprised that Tomlinson went back in later. Especially the photo on the picture that I put up on Sideline Report on my when I did the post-game live thing on Facebook was, Graham Glasgow congratulating Theo Riddick was the first guy in the end zone with him. That shows that where he was, blocking. Yeah, yeah. I thought he was good. I thought he earned his keep. He is a much better pass protector. Now some of this is situational. The Eagles, we all know Jim Schwartz loves to have his big gaps, and that's death to Laken Tomlinson. Graham Glasgow is a little bit more athletic, has better feet, and can handle that. And I think that was a smart tactical switch today. The Rams play that same sort of style of defense. So I would love to see Glasgow, at least get a shot at competing for that starting spot again. Because Tomlinson, I don't think he was awful today. I thought he was better than Larry Warford, who did not do well. But
yeah.
You're playing.
Yeah, that was rough.
Yeah, Fletcher Cox is a man, though. That guy, he doesn't get the notoriety of Aaron Donald. He's really close to being that good. So I'm not going to get too down on Larry for that. But that one sack was, that was bad.
Yes, it was.
Now, I know we won good, but we almost lost. Now, would you put more finger-pointing at Jim Bob Cooter to not getting the offense to do anything in the second half, or more on Terrell Austin by allowing the Eagles to almost come back and win this game? Because in zone coverage, they were allowing so much easy yardage, but on man, they were able to shut them down.
Yeah, they were, and they did play man well early, and I would have liked to have seen more of that. And you know what? They did really take the foot off the accelerator on offense, though. And some of that was Philly's defense did a few things differently. I thought they got a little bit more aggressive. They started playing their safeties up a little bit closer to the line and started to take away Bolden on those underneath routes, and that worked for them. But, man, I don't expect this team to play 60 strong minutes, and most teams don't, to be fair. Most teams play, if you can win 40 of the 60 minutes, you're going to win a whole lot more football games than you lose. And they did that today. But it would have been nice to see, a complete game, especially from Cooter, because I think we've all convinced ourselves that he's a very good offensive coordinator. He did not have his best game today. But fortunately, Jim Caldwell probably had his best coached game as a Lion. His decision-making, like we talked about earlier, going for fourth down, he used the timeouts well and made the Eagles burn their timeouts. It wound up not meaning anything because Slay made a play, but as much as we give Jim Caldwell crap, you have to give him plaudits today. He earned the win today. His team around him earned it. They didn't quit on him. And I think that speaks well for the professionalism in the locker room. And you know what also speaks well for the assistant coaches for not letting the team get away and believing a little bit in Caldwell. Some of that is the fact that they wanted to show up Schwartz a little bit, I'm sure. But you know what? I'm very happy overall. And we'll dissect what Terrell Austin did wrong again later and what Jim Bob Cooter didn't do well in the second half. And that would pretty much be everything other than than that final scoring drive. But, yeah, it was not they were not without flaws today, but this is one of those days where Philadelphia, that was not their best game. And they also, I think we got some beneficial officiating today. I think a few of the calls were questionable. I love the fact that they called an illegal receiver downfield on Devin Taylor while he's playing defense. that was fun.
Yeah, that was great.
Hey. Yeah, the Eagles fans were feeling being the hydrant today with the officiating. That was nice to see that for another team too.
Yeah, but it's nice to finally be the dog. Hey Riz, you want to stay around for a couple calls from the listeners?
Yeah, I got a few minutes.
All right, sweet. Let's do that. Let's open up the phone lines right now for our listeners. It's area code 248-782-8384. 248-782-8384 or give us a call via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word. Let's get into it.
If you ever needed an excuse to drink, this is it. Time for Fan Sanity.
All right, let's kick it off. Take our first phone call here very shortly, and we'll talk a little bit with the listeners about what they thought about today's game. All right, we've got a caller on. How are you?
What's up? Modest Lion here.
Modest Lion. This is my buddy, my COD buddy from early last year. You going to be with me again this year when they launch?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, sweet. A little bit of Infinite Warfare. What do you got for us, my modest lion friend?
Just in a good mood, man. What can I say? I'm here in Allentown next to Philly, so everyone's Philly fans around me. So it's going to be nice going into work with my lion swag and getting all the dirty looks and being like, yeah.
Bring your own batteries to throw.
Yeah, man, for sure. Yeah, it was a great win, man. I mean, it wasn't perfect, and there's obviously it was could have been anybody's game there at the end. But you know, the Lions pulled it off. Darius Slay, like you guys were talking about, looked like a stud. He's earning that money right now. Even our injuries, you know, they came in pretty damn healthy, and we lost starters, four or five of them, and still came out. So something to be happy about. Caldwell showed emotion, which is a fucking rare event. It was like looking at a unicorn on live TV. So that was pretty cool.
That was awesome. That was fantastic.
Speaking of unicorns.
It pissed like a unicorn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was beautiful, man. Beautiful game. Again, I'm just in a good mood, and there's a lot of things that went right, and I'm looking forward to hopefully getting a little bit healthier and hopefully having some momentum and some faith, you know, with the guys that they can actually kick ass, because we can see that they can. They always could, and that was one of my things calling in the last couple of weeks, saying they couldn't finish a game. You know, it was a half, and they've been suffering that for years, just being a half team where it was either the first half they were good and the second half they came out shitty or vice versa. So This one, it was a little inconsistent, but I mean, they felt like the pedal was down for the most part, not the whole way maybe, but enough where, you know, they were in the game the whole time. They had the lead for most of the game and stuff. So there at the end, you know, the third quarter, the Eagles kind of came back. And so it was a little dicey there, but, you know, they pulled it off. And that's what we needed, is the defense to step up there. And they finally did, you know, especially Slay, amongst the injuries and stuff. He really showed that he is a top corner. And, that you know, if he can keep up with that and the other defense gets healthy and steps up, man, we could hopefully turn it around a little bit. Yeah. I'm being a little, you know, optimistic here, but
so hoping, Riz, man, what do you think? I mean, I'm thinking we beat a pretty good Philadelphia team here, although they didn't play their best. This team looks like they might be for real this year.
They look good. That's a good team. Carson Wentz, that guy can play. I think, you know, a lot of us were a little skeptical of that coming into this, you know, like, well, what has he really done? Well, that guy's good. I mean, that third down throw that he threw on their drive to go ahead, where he put it out there where only the receiver, that's a great throw. I was impressed with his poise and decision making. He's legit. That's a good football team. I sort of poo-pooed, you know, beating the Colts because I know the Colts are terrible, and they are. But you know, you beat a good team, you know, you have to feel good about that.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, between Prescott and him, man, it's these rookies, man, they're coming up pretty hot. I mean, it's better than first rounders so far, you know. Well, at least for golf, you know, I mean, he didn't look too hot in the preseason. It's kind of hard to tell now, you know. Case Keenum will probably be benched at some point, but I don't know, man. It's good for them, you know. I'm not a huge Philly fan because, like I said, I live nearby and I always get they're kind of a crazy fan base, so it's kind of hard to root for them when they especially now they have Schwartz. One of those better
they have my favorite chant of any fan base in the NFL. It's EAGLES, Eagles. And I always like to tell them how proud I am that they learned to spell Eagles.
I know, man. That's big, man.
It's grade level above the Jets.
It is. It's two full letters more than the Jets.
There's a couple extra letters in there, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're the dominant spellers in the NFL. You guys remember that.
Unfortunately, I don't hear.
You guys have a lot of colors.
Yeah, thanks, man. We'll talk to you again.
Have a good one, guys.
All right. It's unfortunate because I don't hear anyone spelling out Lions at Ford Field. Not saying, but I'm just saying. All right. A couple guys, we got the phone lines open again. You want to give a call? 248-782-8384. All one word, Detroit Lions podcast. You're going to call via Skype. Yeah, so it was something. It's always nice to get that win out at Ford Field, but it seems these days that it's quieter than it used to be. Do you guys notice that? I mean, it used to be when the other team was in the end zone, you couldn't even hear the announcers. And now it just seems like I'm a little din above a golf clap.
You know, they brought it though a couple times. There were a couple of a false start or delay of game penalties that, you know, where the fans really cranked it up. So that was nice. But yeah, in general, I think you're right.
Seems just quieter. Hey, we got you put on your best behavior. It's a mod from the sub. It's Punk Rock and Trev. How you doing, man?
Oh, hey guys, how's it going?
Yeah, it's going well. See, is the beard still there? You still carrying that
thing? Yeah, the sun's shining a little brighter today. And if you know what? If I was Jim Caldwell, I would not be worried right now. And let me explain that.
Yeah,
please. I wouldn't be worried about keeping my job with the Lions. But I would but I also wouldn't be worried because he has an amazing future ahead of him in Las Vegas running a magic show, because I just watched him make a whole football team disappear after halftime.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's the same thing, right? You get one half of football where you're like, wow, here's the team that we all expected. This is the Lions we know. And then, or, you know, we want or dream of, I don't know. And then the other half, they just literally go away. And I don't know what it is.
What was the stat? I don't have it in front of me, but there was a graphic where they had 11 yards in the third quarter or something like that.
Yep.
They ended the game with less than 25 yards of offense or passing, yeah, whatever it was.
They had 164 yards of passing and I think it was 70 yards of rushing or something like that. And it was 25 carries for 70 yards, and at one point they had 9 carries for 50. So that tells you where the running game went.
I mean, I know we're depleted at running back, but we can't run Theo Riddick up the middle. We're going to kill that guy.
Oh.
It's just so I'm glad we saw a little bit more trying to get him to the outside today. But yeah, that the first half, we looked fucking great. And then the second half, we disappeared. We ghosted so hard. I don't even know, like, how is that even possible? Like, what do you go into the locker room with like a Dyson vacuum and just suck the soul out of the team? Like, what is what?
It's are there the rollerball?
Are there dimensions?
Ghostbusters. It's Ghostbusters.
Like, what the fuck? I mean, we like that the first half is a team we've been waiting to watch all year, and the second half was this completely empty shell of a team besides Darius Slay.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right. Can I say something about Theo Riddick real quick before we move on? I've been critical of Theo Riddick and his ability as a running back, like straight up, you know, as a running back. I've never ignored his abilities as a receiver by any means, but I have been critical of his running back strengths. He didn't necessarily prove to me in this game that he's a good running back. But what he did do in this game was prove to me that I can never, ever, ever question his heart.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. He played to the end of every play. And it worked. It worked on that fourth down play where he really shouldn't have gotten that first down play. And it was nothing. He's not the strongest guy out there. He's not the fastest. He's got great agility, but he is not the best running back. But I can't criticize his heart. I will never, ever, ever criticize that man's heart.
Part of why I don't want to see him running between the tackles isn't because I don't think he could do it with good blocking, but we don't have good run blocking. I don't want to see him die in there.
I agree.
One thing we noticed too, just on that note as well, is Tomlinson went out. Glasgow played guard for Tomlinson for the better half of that game.
Yep.
So that's an interesting thing to note.
Yeah, and that's, you know, Riz was talking a little bit about that earlier, about how Tomlinson might not be do as well against the Schwartz defense. Do you think that actually we had coaches putting Glasgow in there because schematically he was a better fit against what we were facing, or do you think it was literally just because of what Lakin was doing? I just it would seem strange for me. It would be unnatural or completely out of character, I guess, for these coaches to scheme against what the other team is offering. That's why I just can't believe it.
You know, I didn't know Lakin being bad before he was benched.
Yeah.
I didn't notice him being good either, but you tend to not notice that about guards very often. So yeah. This is going to be one where hopefully Caldwell answers the question in the press conference and
check the report. You know,
every game
and
is a different game.
We won't do anything for a year and a half.
Yeah. Read the report.
Yeah. I don't know if he got injured or if he just got benched, but yeah, I don't know. I think I just had to go back and look at the film again, but it It feels like Glasgow's a little bit better of a run blocker. Maybe Jeff can elaborate on that. I don't know exactly.
What they did today, they did more zone concepts in their running game today, and that definitely suits Glasgow better.
Which is funny because the zone buried us last year.
Yes, exactly. And it's, you know, it works for Riddick, though. He's a good at it, and it seemed to work fairly well for Zenner, too. As much as we'd like him to be a power pig, he's not. he tries to run like he's Theo Riddick, even though he's not. there was the one play that stands out for me for Theo Riddick today. I know he had some good ones. There was a play where it was well blocked, and he could have gone and bounced it to the right or bounced it to the left, but he ran straight forward and got tackled by a guy who was laying on the freaking ground.
I saw that. Yeah, I know. Exactly the play you're talking about.
Oh boy. Yeah, that reminds me, before we go on, Stafford had a similar situation in the game where the pocket was collapsing, and he escaped the pocket, and he was right in front of the line of scrimmage and had an opportunity to throw the ball. Wisely didn't throw the ball, but he had about 15 yards of grass in front of him, and if he had just run through it instead of stopping and trying to make the pass happen, he'd have picked up a first down.
Yeah, I know that play too. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And you know, there's a guy there in Stafford that we talk about Riddick and the heart he has. There's no question.
The heart of Stafford, right?
But we definitely, I mean, you see it today. You see it all season. This guy brings it every game. It's like no one cares about it more than him about winning that game. And God, he's a hell of a leader out there.
Seeing him get sacked with no helmet on just reinforced to me every bit that he is a roving savage, and every team needs to be aware of Matt Stafford.
Yeah. I'd like to see him grow a beard like yours and Levy's, Trev. I think that would really put the right kind of fear in the.
Like, if he was 6'5" and like.
All right, Trev. Hey, we're losing you, bud. We're gonna move on. Okay. All right. Thanks, buddy. All right. Yeah, no, it's really something to see these guys and what they're bringing. You know, Theo's a great surprise. Ebron not being on the field today, you didn't get to get the situation where you saw someone giving up. I'm interested to see his next game and how he reacts to the criticism that's been levied against him for so long. Because I think the biggest problem for him wasn't that he gave up on a play again last week, but that it was so obviously caught. That everybody saw it. Now he has to react. It's not, you know, there's nothing to do but change what he's doing out there. So hey, we got another caller. It's who we got on the line here.
Hey, it's Finn.
Hey, how you doing?
Finn the Human. What's up? Is Jeff still around?
I am here.
Hey Jeff, you put out an article last week with the Detroit. It was an interesting one of the Lions in the tune of a rock band, and. I don't know if you guys, I was at Avenged Sevenfold. I think this week you got to do Slayer in honor of the clutch performance this week.
Yeah, I gotta think of a music like for this one. I saw Coheed and Cambria last night, so I might try to work that in, but I don't think anybody knows who they are. So.
Oh, we know who they are. I went to college in the mid-2000s.
Oh, geez. That was good stuff. Hey, I was just going to listen this week, but I just haven't heard anybody mention how important Anquan Boldin was over the middle this week.
Oh, he was clutch. I mean,
the post route, and we're kind of, you know, we're all kind of hung up on that second half of kind of disappearing, but, I mean, a big third down catch to put us, within about 5 yards of the end zone in the first drive of the game, you know, or at least early in the game, and then a big third down catch later on, it just, without Ebron, I was really questioning where's our presence in the middle going to be. And Cole Wick wasn't there, and Anquan stepped up.
Huge. Yes, he did.
He really did. Yeah. And Chris Spielman pointed out during the broadcast that he was basically playing, you know, the flex tight end role instead of playing as a wide receiver. And I thought that was smart. Again, Jim Caldwell had a good day. That's another part of it.
Now, you know, I just have to allude. I saw Tavon Austin give up on a play that could have been a touchdown. He ran out of bounds, and he had the whole secondary behind him. 10 minutes left. Go back to the LA game, guys. You'll see. You want to see somebody give up on a play? That was worse than Ebron. That was horrible. He had a touchdown that he just left on the field.
Didn't they just pay him like $40 million too?
Yeah. Yep. Wow. Sorry.
Spooky. He's so spooky. That's what it is.
So Finn, man, you got any fun articles coming out on Sideline Report this week?
Well, I definitely don't have any music-based articles coming out this week. But I do my Lions Playbook series where I kind of try and go as in-depth with the X's and O's as I can. And I think the thing that kind of caught my eye was the touchdown pass to Marvin Jones. These planes. Everybody flies out of Hawaii. Why'd you fly out of Hawaii? I don't understand. Hopefully it's not too loud. But the thing that caught my eye is down on the red zone, they run this sprint out, and it's an out to Anquan from the slot. They kind of rub route it. And that seems to be the big thing. I mean, the Tate reception at the end of the game, 20-yard reception, was a rub route. It seems to be a big core of this offense. So I think that's what we're going to go into this week for the Lions playbook is utilizing these rub routes. And then whenever those get locked down, how does Stafford react after? You know, the one today, it got shut down. The corner played the rub well. But Stafford, instead of panicking and throwing it away, he sets his feet and he finds Marvin in the back of the end zone for a touchdown. So that's what to expect this week from me in regards to articles.
Yeah, cool. I've really liked your film review stuff that you've been doing and the stuff that our guy Zach has been doing. Kind of looking and analyzing the games and the plays. You guys have been bringing a lot of good in-depth stuff between Sideline Report and DetroitLionsPodcast.com. You guys are doing good kind of complimentary type articles. Really good stuff.
It is.
Yeah.
Good that Brandon puts it out here, too. Mr. Finley puts it out that, this is what he's doing. So other people can react off that and worry about that play. Because, that one's covered. That's what we think of as an editor. We're like, okay, that's covered. Now what do we do?
So Golden Tate got brought up there for a second. I want to talk about Golden Tate for a sec. Overall, I think it was a good game for Tate. It was a bit of a, like, he showed some moments of heart that we needed to see from him. It wasn't a perfect game by any means. I will say this idea of putting him in the backfield and using him as a running back. Like, on paper, I'm down with it. But if you run the ball with him every single time you have him in the backfield, the defense is going to catch on, and it's not going to work.
Right. So they didn't, though, and that's how Riddick got that second touchdown, because Tate was in the backfield, and they faked it to him.
Good point.
You saw both of their safeties fly. To Tate, so they.
Good point.
I'm with you that they do go to that well a little too often when it's in there. That's something though that you see in the college game a lot. Like if you're a Michigan fan, you know when Jabril Peppers is in the game, he's getting the ball. Yeah. It kind of defeats the purpose of putting him in. That always bugs me about coaches. I wish they'd do that as a decoy more. But then you're like, well, why would you use him as a decoy? It's vicious circle. But yeah, they did it once today, and it worked.
You're right. Well, the issue is, like, I saw them try to run the ball with Tate three times, and they did the one fake that worked. But only one of the times they ran with Tate out of the three times they actually gave him the ball was a positive play. So you're right. If you can set up a big play, a touchdown play, by having a couple of plays that don't work, I suppose that's that's worth it. It was just frustrating to watch them run every similar plays three times and only have it work once. But
if I may comment on that really quick, that's a good point. A lot of our sets look the same. You look at the touchdown through Riddick where we threw it's a fake bubble to one side and you turn around to the backdoor screen.
That was really good.
Well, they go back at it out of the same set in the second half, and Nigel Bradham just completely eats it up. I think there needs to be just a tad bit more of disguising those sets, especially if those are going to be the plays that get us big yardage.
Yeah.
Sure thing. Hey, Finn, we're going to let you roll, man. We got a couple other calls that are trying to get through. Thanks again for calling, man. Love to have you on.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right. Be good, bro. All right. Later. Finley, the human Brandon. Finn. Check him out, sidelinereport.com. You can also see some stuff from this Jeff guy there. If you've not heard of him, he's also called The Riz. Jordan, how you doing, man? Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on? Long time no talk.
Yeah, how you feeling today?
I got some yard work done. I definitely thought, okay, so there was a point in the first half Actually, I'm sorry. There was a point right after the second half started where I sat there and I went, I want to know the third down completion percentage of the Philadelphia Eagles at this point, because it seemed like the Lions just could not stop them on third down at all.
Yeah.
At all. And that's kind of a recurring trend with this iteration of the team in my eyes.
Yeah, third and long in particular.
Yeah, it just does, it doesn't matter. The down and distance of third down. It's just like whenever it's a third down, I'm just like, okay, they're about to put their backups in. It was like the Michigan game the other day. The third string's coming in. Yeah, so I just, you know, it was just one of those things where I got upset and I went outside and I listened to the game. I listened to good old Dan Miller call it on the radio for a little while.
That's always
until the fourth quarter.
Until
the fourth quarter came back in.
Yeah,
I know. He's a great guy. I like him and Brandstetter. They're good. They're definitely good radio announcers. But I came back inside when the fumble happened, which I still am not sure if that was called correctly. I'm going to be honest with you. There was a lot of questionable stuff in that game. And I know we're kind of focused on what the Lions did right, but there's not always going to be a 14-2 penalty disparity between the two teams.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
Usually it goes the other way.
Yeah, absolutely. It's usually the other side of that, so for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, but even like looking back to our Tennessee game, like we got 17 penalties, they had 12. 14-2, that's a 12 penalty disparity.
Including a couple penalties that cost us, three penalties to be exact, that cost us touchdowns, and including one specifically that was not a penalty.
Sure. So, I mean, there were a couple ones that I looked that I was like, I don't know about that one. The chop block, I don't know that.
That was not a chop block.
I agree with you. You're absolutely right. That wasn't a chop block, and they shouldn't have gotten called for it.
I still don't know what happened with the pass that ended up being a fumble on the sideline where they called either Devin Taylor or one of their defensive players as an illegal receiver downfield. And then all of a sudden it was like, haha, just kidding. By the way, it's a 27-yard completion.
Hopefully we'll get a little bit more information on that. You know,
the league needs to clarify that one for us, because check there was the a report. Whole lot wrong on that one. Yeah, we will need to check the report.
there was also another play where the Eagles got called for holding, and I guess it must have been downfield because the down and distance were completely screwed up. Like
it was a downfield offensive holding. I know exactly the play.
It was.
And I mean, it was holding, but I'm not sure if they. I'm not sure if they fixed it correctly. But
I don't know where it was marked off or what, because like all of us, it went from being second and 15 to third and five, and he got five.
It happened way down the field. It really did, but wasn't, you know, that they had some trouble spotting the ball today too. The officials did. There was a couple of times where they had to respot it, like that first Philly challenge.
Yeah.
And got it right. They were right to challenge it because
absolutely. It was the way to heck.
But then they gave him like another half yard back when they respotted. They spotted it at his knee and not at his elbow. So I just that was odd too. But I feel like Philly fans are a little bit justified in being upset about the reffing of that game. And I know as a Lions fan who's dealt with these kind of issues before, I can sit here and go. I can sit here and go.
If I'm trying to even things out, this game was definitely like slightly in the advantage of the Lions in terms of the reffing, which is not something we're used to.
We're still like seven in the hole.
Right, exactly.
Playoff games count as extra because we're already two playoff games down. So if those count as like three games each,
after three games in a row where we had shitty calls that like had major impact to win a game where the other team had a few like questionable calls.
We should have a ring about now, right?
And
is definitely like you were saying how we got some good calls. In the first drive, we saw a blatant hold by somebody. I think it was Corey Robinson. It was a blatant hold. We got away with it. I was surprised we did.
Yeah, I saw that too. I did.
Yes. And a fun fact, I'm sure everyone knows that picked up flag, you know, Devin Taylor down the field. Well, this is the same crew that picked up that pass interference call in 2014 in Dallas.
Yeah, I was seeing some comments on Reddit in a couple different places talking about how the Lions had Pete Morelli in their pocket, and I was just like, what? Pete Morelli? Pete Morelli of all referees. Yep. That's
history lesson. Going with
here. That's the narrative we want. But yeah, so I was, you know, beyond all of that, I was happy. I showed the team responding to some adversity, because last week they looked lifeless. Yeah. Like they just looked like a team that was playing out the string. Like a lot of people were looking like people that were just trying to play out their contracts. Like Tate kind of had a resurgence today a little bit. Yeah. I think they made a concerted effort to get him more involved with the offense. But at the same time, when Tate's involved, Tate plays. Tate starts playing, and we want that. I mean, sometimes you have guys with a little bit of an attitude thing, and sometimes you need to cater to that with good players. And I understand everybody before this week was like, "Oh, get rid of him," blah, blah, blah. But he's still a good player, and he's not, you know, he's not on the downside of his career yet. He's still kind of in his prime, that area. So I do think making a concerted effort to get him more involved was a good game plan. I do not know why they didn't throw the ball Marvin Jones' way a little more. I mean, he was covered by a rookie almost the whole game.
Right.
And using him as a decoy. I mean, we heard that so often with Calvin. It's like, why? Why are we using like one of our best offensive players as a decoy?
Yeah, the whole decoy thing is just dumb. It's just so dumb.
I would like to hear Caldwell's response to that. Like, why didn't we force the ball Marvin Jones' way a little more?
Sure thing. All right, hey Jordan, we're gonna roll on, man. We're gonna got a couple more callers we want to get in, and we're gonna run short of time here. We wanna keep it a little tighter on these shows.
The weekly
show gets long.
for sure.
All right, brother. Hey, thanks a lot for calling, man.
Yep, you guys have a good afternoon.
Yeah, you too, bud.
Later.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Glad his lawn got done. That's really nice.
That is nice.
It was taken down.
I'm looking at mine right now. I'm like, crap, I know what I'm doing tomorrow morning.
All right, guys, give us a call, 248-782-8384. I saw you trying to call Lucas. We'll get you in there. Or Detroit Lions Podcast via Skype, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. As we start kind of getting towards the last couple of calls here, Brandon, you want to do a quick wrap on where you're at and where you think this team is going from here?
I don't know where this is going, to be completely honest with you. Because like I was saying earlier in the show, every time I get my hopes up and believing we can actually do something and build off momentum, we just fall flat face first. So we got the Rams next week. I don't know how they're doing right now. I'm not checking up on them. But it's definitely our defensive line has to show up and stop Todd Gurley. And correct me if I'm wrong, Case Keenum is still starting, or is he hurt? Okay. Yeah, he's not phenomenal. They don't have any good receivers. You know, like you said, Taywan Austin just gave up on that play. So definitely there's be some character issues over there. I don't know. But it's going to be tough. I don't know. I can't really wrap my head around next week right now. So
yeah, I'm having a hard time figuring out the Rams myself. So it's interesting. Hey, we got a call here. We got Lucas on the line. How you doing, my man?
Hey, good. How you guys doing?
Great, great. Now that you're here, everything's just fine.
Yeah, so I decided, since the officiating actually went for us for once, to just go ahead and peruse Reddit and see, because, you know, we always get told as Lions fans that we need to get over it. Good teams don't let officials, you know, determine the game. But, of course, all the Packers and Vikings fans are siding with the Eagles, like, oh, yeah, the officiating was terrible, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, really? Like, so many people are saying we had the officials in our pocket. And it's like, you guys watch Lions games ever? I agree. The officiating was it was bad today. It was not for the Lions for once. You know, I'm not going to say, you know, oh, man, I wish they'd called more on us. You know, whatever. I'm happy we got the win. But, I mean, some of the, you know, the chop block and the spots and all that, I was just like, yeah, this is bad. But I to Eagles fans, I say, hey, good teams don't let officials, you know, determine the game. You gotta play better than that, because they could have won that game. It's not like most of those calls were in the first half the game, and then, you know, they almost came back and won.
They
as we
were
saw,
game but. Deciding calls. You know, they weren't necessarily great calls, but they weren't. If you want to compare the calls that the Eagles had in this game to some of the calls the Lions have had in terms of their impact on the in the very short and tangible way, they're not even on the same level as what the Lions have had even the last 3 weeks. So while they weren't necessarily the best calls, you know, ever, and while it's possible they could have had some impact on the outcome, no, this is not the same thing. This is some like, could have been, should have been, like, maybe could have gone the other way type of stuff. Not like, this is blatantly wrong and you guys fucked the fuck up kind of stuff.
Yeah,
so.
Bill Ford did not party with Dean Blandino on the bus today.
You make a great point there. You know, there was no illegal bat out of the back of the end zone. in a fumble that should have given the Lions, you know, should have given the Eagles the ball back type situation. It was like, okay, yeah, it's, you know, first and 35 now. That sucks. But, you know, you're going to punt it away. Your defense, like, this is supposed to be a very good Eagles team, and they're coming off a bye. It's a very injured Lions team who's coming off of losing to the Bears. And you know, even still, we were only a one-half team.
Maybe
one-half, and then last 2 minutes of the game.
Maybe Blandino came to town for some of that famous Ford Field analingus. That's a possibility.
Oh, and, dear God.
the reality is, hey, it went our way. And I'm fine that it went our way once, you know, to finally feel what it's like to be on the other side of the officiating. It doesn't change the fact that you've got, in 2014, the profit for the NFL was over $1 billion. Profit.
Oh, yeah.
How can your officiating be this bad on a corporate entity that is that huge? I mean, it was an embarrassment that they couldn't do the Hall of Fame game this year, right? Because your whole thing about a league is putting on football games, and you couldn't put on a football game. And at that profit level, to have this kind of just, I mean, look, when we had the replacement officials, you could see how horrible officiating could be, but this isn't great officiating. This does not fit the product that we see on the field. And it's an embarrassment to the NFL. They're talking about profits being down and viewership being down this year. You can see why. Without the consistency, as a fan, you can't tell what a catch is. You can't tell what's going on. I think it's hurting the product, and I think people are reacting.
I'll agree with that as well. Like we saw in the Titans game, like both there were so many flags thrown on both sides of the ball. It was awful to watch. And even watching this, I'm glad that the calls weren't against us for once. Normally, when you see flag on the field, you know, it's like, okay, what did the Lions do this time? But it kept, you know, even still, it was like, geez, like, can we actually get a play done here? It's now first and 35. You know, we had that happen when we were trying to score a touchdown against the Titans and type thing. And the other thing aside from officiating that I didn't completely understand, and maybe I missed it or something, but the first quarter looked like a completely different playbook from the offense.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe even the first half that I've ever seen. And then it seemed like, once again, we got ahead, and then they were like, okay, let's do the stuff that doesn't work. And I don't know if the Eagles adjusted, because it didn't really look like I didn't see these plays not working. It was all of a sudden, oh, we're back to the old playbook, and oh, look, we're falling behind again. And it's like, I don't understand the coaching when it's like, this is working, do that until it doesn't work. Like,
it wasn't even falling behind, it was falling apart. It was what, 4 minutes left in the third quarter, and they'd already turned 10 points on us with no answer.
Yeah,
that was horrible. That was just an absolute pivot. So yeah. Anyway, I'm still on the Fire Blandino bandwagon. No. That hashtag. Ever since he came in, officiating's gotten worse. And now the problem is, like, we can say, oh, it went our way or it didn't go our way. It shouldn't even be part of the conversation. The officials are too much a part of the game now. I don't remember them, other than the last couple of years, having such an impact on the outcome of so many games, not just the Lions, but across the NFL. I feel like that's how it should be at all.
I feel like it used to be explained better as well. Like, there was no suddenly, like, in the Cowboys playoff game of, oh, we're just going to pick up the flag, move, and then that's it. There, like, no explanation. There was a flag down, now there's not. And even in this game, there was they threw a flag on someone that wasn't even on the field. And then, oh, just kidding, it's not there. And then
same crew. Some yards. Same crew.
Exactly. And it's like, okay, so something's gone horribly wrong with the officiating, and I don't know what it is. You know, you got people calling in, oh, it's fixed and all that, but I don't necessarily believe that. It just seems to be very poor officiating. It's almost like ever since even the replacement refs, ever since then, even when the normal refs came back, they never got it didn't get any better, and I don't know what's going on with that.
I feel like the first I remember this being as big an issue as it is now is 2010 with the whole Calvin non-catch, which I will agree at this point was called correctly, but they didn't explain it at all. You know, at all in a satisfactory way. And back in 2010 against the Bears, when we lost that game against them for the catch that Calvin had that everybody thought was a touchdown, and they ruled it an incomplete. You know, And I don't necessarily, I still, you know, I don't necessarily think they got it wrong. I just think that that's the first time I remember that things got out of control in terms of not explaining themselves.
Yeah.
But like I said, the Eagles, this game was, they could have won this game, officiating aside. I'm glad the Lions were able to hold it together. Thank God for Slay, because that was just, he was so,
yes,
good.
It
so
was.
Good. He was so good today.
For
like,
sure.
Yes, he was.
I know we always give, we always seem, our fans seem to give him a really hard time ever since he called himself Big Play Slay. Anytime he gives up anything now, it's like, oh, Big Play Slay. But he's actually, he does a very good job most of the time. So I'm so happy we have him on the team.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Lucas, we're going to let you go, man. There's one or two other people still trying to call, and we're going to try to wrap it up here and grab those calls if we can. So thanks a lot for calling. Thanks a lot for all your help on Patreon again.
Yep. Thanks, guys. Bye.
All right, man. We'll see you. All right. We'll get these last couple calls in. 248-782-8384 or Detroit Lions Podcast. All one word. Case, why don't you give us a little wrap on the game and a look forward from your perspective?
Well, it's this game, theoretically, you know, you win against a good game. It's supposed to give you some level of optimism. But how much optimism can I have when they also simultaneously lost in weeks 2 and 4 against teams they should have beat? So, I mean, this is like my concern is that this is just treading water. And, like, this is a win, but it's not like it doesn't announce that the Lions are back in it.
Sure, sure.
I think the most significant thing is that we proved today that there is reason for those of you who still have hope that is justified. I don't necessarily share that with you, but I'm not going to take that away from you either. Because you know what? They beat a good football team today. And they showed that when they play together and when they get good coaching and get a little bit of benefit from refs, they can still be a good and fun team to watch. Like the last dude just said, you know, about the formations, you know, they were all over the place in the first half, you know, open up the playbook and everything. And, you know, that's exciting. Let's see more of that. If we do more of that, then this team can, you know, then I definitely won't argue with the optimists out there. Of course, I'm still, you know, as Chuck Daly once said, a pessimist is an optimist with experience. I side with Chuck, but you know what? Enjoy this win because it was nice.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Take it and just let it go through your pores. Just enjoy it while it's here.
Yeah. All right, hey guys, I got to run. Pleasure being with you again, and I will talk to you on Tuesday.
All right, Riz. Thanks a lot for joining again, man. All right. The Riz, he's checking out. We got a new caller on. How you doing, man?
Hey, good. How are you guys?
Good, good. Good to have you on. What's your name?
Big Luke on the Reddit, I guess is how I go by. I guess the only thing I guess that nobody's mentioned, or maybe I failed to pick it up, but we actually did well with their tight ends. I mean, this is the first game where their tight ends, you know, they didn't just blitz us for 80 yards of just one giant play. We kind of, I guess our linebackers kind of kept them in check, and they only got, what, 4 catches for, I think, 46, 47 yards in total. Not too shabby.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think it was a good game from the linebackers in terms of depth, especially Whitehead. You know, you don't want to hear about a guy like Whitehead as often as we heard about him in this game. But even when they did get catches, he was right there to bring them down for the most part. So overall, I agree. You know, that's if they can, if Terrell Austin can do with the linebackers this year what he was able to do with the cornerbacks last year in terms of developing their ability to not necessarily make them great, but find a way to make them work, then, you know, it's definitely another feather in his hat. And I know that we're not always positive about Terrell Austin, but he did do a good job last year, you know, building the depth of the amongst the cornerbacks. And if he could figure out how to do that in terms of linebackers and their coverage over the middle of the field, that would be huge.
Yep, yep. And if anything, this game gave me a reason to post that image where it's always with the picture of Stafford and says, you know, it's a nice lead you have there. It'd be a shame if someone made a comeback. That's always reason to be happy. So I guess I'll leave it out with that, guys. Have a good weekend. Go Lions.
Awesome. Hey, man, thanks a lot for calling. Really appreciate it.
Yep, thanks, guys. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too. All right, that's it. That's a big win to end on. That's a good call and a big win for the Lions today, man. That it's unreal. I expected to walk out after this game and not be emotional about the loss we just suffered after our traditional second half meltdown, and I was proven wrong. And I don't know how to feel now. There's so many conflicting feelings. There's rumors Levy could be back, you know, Ansah could be back. Caldwell could stay. That's the rumor. I don't want anyone to start that. Actually, I just made that up. But just so many weird things going on with this team. I think we all know that this team isn't performing where it should be based on the talent on the roster. And I think that goes to coaching. I think there's a lot still to be ironed out here this year. I guess where I'm at is I'm still looking at this as a rebuilding year. We got a, you know, blind squirrel got a nut today, and hopefully we can build on it and see some good changes going forward. This LA team is going to be so interesting to play. They're a lot tougher than they should be. And I think this LA game is going to really be an indicator of what the rest of our season will be like. I really believe it, because this is a team who should be performing at the level that we should be performing at. So we'll see. We'll see where it goes and how things go forward from there. Remember, this show needs your involvement. We look for you guys like Lucas, who called today, to give us some help on Patreon, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, or just go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on the Patreon link. You can set up a automatic donation, a dollar, whatever you want to do a month. Helps us out a lot, helps pay for the bandwidth and keep this show going. So don't forget about us on Patreon, and if you can spare a little bit of change, send it our way. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. That's facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, the finest site on Facebook. Give us a like, share it with your friends, let them know we're out there. And also make sure you check us out on Twitter at DETLionsPodcast, DETLionsPodcast. It's the best place on Twitter to see Case
with no pants.
Oh, he stripped down during the show, guys. That's what happens with these kind of phone calls. Great job. Don't forget to leave us a voice message via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, or give us a call on the Lions line, 929-33-LIONS. It's 929-335-4667. You get a chance to hear yourself on the show. Another great way to support the show is via the link to Amazon at DetroitLionsPodcast.com. If you're ever going to go do your shopping at Amazon, head on over to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Go over, click on that Amazon link. It'll take you right to Amazon. It's an extra little thing you type into your browser, an extra click, but they give us a little kickback. And if you're going to go shopping there anyway, you know, you might as well just do it like that and help the show get a little bit to help keep things going and help find a line the, I don't want to say line the coffers because they've been empty for a long time, but, you know, help recoup the loss. So Amazon from DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Also, don't be fooled by the imitators. There's plenty of room for Lions podcasts. And Pride of Detroit does a fine job with their podcast. They do their thing. It's all their stuff. You'll see some other guys that maybe try to confuse you by using our name or something really, really close. They name their episodes like we do. They set their segments like we do. They're being more and more trying to be like us and confuse people into listening to them. But they're not us. And just make sure when you're doing your ratings, your reviews, when you're going to the websites, whatever, go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com so you don't wind up with an inferior product. DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Subscribe to the podcast. It'll come in your little box automatically. So thank you for tuning in. We're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions podcast. It's your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Let's bring it in here together. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Come on, baby.
Lions on three. One, two, three.
Lions.